keeping with the theme of baptism, we'd go to a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and reflect a little more on the significance of baptism, and something that I think we probably don't think about enough or appreciate what it means to us. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1 beginning at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 beginning at verse 1. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep you from setting, to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things, as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down and ate to eat and drink and got up and indulged in pagan rivalry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, for they were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful and don't fall. No temptation has seized you as common to man, and God is faithful and will not let you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. Let's pray together. Lord, we read these words that appear on paper and written by ink, but we know that your word is much more than that, that as we interact with it by faith, it becomes a living and a powerful word that can actually change us and make us more like Jesus. So God, help us to hear that voice. I pray that your grace and mercy would overcome the feebleness and frailty of my own voice and tongue, and would overcome the feebleness and fragility of our ears to hear, and that your word might truly speak to all of us. So help us, O Lord, help us to pay attention, help us to think deeply, and bless this time, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. So I was a bit surprised a while back ago when my son Jackson came home with a tattoo on his arm. Now, it's not a permanent tattoo, I later found out, but it did last a long time. It wasn't one of these cheapo kid ones. It was one that lasted for most of his cross-country season. All the guys on the cross-country team got this same tattoo. And it all looked pretty cool when they were together and they kind of, everybody had the same tattoo. And the tattoo, what does that do? It identifies them as we are the cross-country team. So there's a common identity. It also speaks of a common bond that they have with each other, right? We're the team. And then it also carries with it a common goal, a common vision of what they're about. We want to win. We want to do well. I want us to pause and reflect on this a moment and think about the significance of a mark, because this is really what baptism is in a sense. It's a mark put on a person, and that mark identifies that person as part of the church of Jesus Christ. So what it tells us is actually very powerful. It tells us of our identity. It speaks of who we are. We are a people identified with Christ. We are a people who bear the name of Christ as Christians. That's who we are. That's our primal identity. It also reminds us that we share something in common, right? That it's not only about who we are, but it's who plurally we are. We are a community with this same mark, which creates a bond between us that's really important. It reminds us that we're a team. We got to function as a team. We're to act like a team. We're to do the things that teams do and work together. And then it identifies certainly how we go forward, how we're to live our lives, what's going to be important to us now. So, hey, that's a pretty big sign you get attached to you when you get baptism, you get baptized. And well, that's what I want to think about this morning. And I thought this peculiar phrase that Paul uses, that he refers to the ancient Israelites when they passed through the Red Sea as being baptized into Moses. I thought, since that's a bit of a peculiar phrase, I thought if we think about it, that might give us even a deeper insight to what it means for Christians who are baptized into Christ. Christ, who is, of course, the greater Moses, the greater deliverer, the greater Savior, the greater Redeemer. So let's think about our Corinthian context. This is a fairly messed up church. It's divided in many ways. They've got divisions of, you know, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos, and they're factions, and they're arguing a lot with each other. They're not getting along. There's a good deal of false teaching that has come into the church through false apostles. They're suing each other, taking one another to court. There's a good deal of sexual immorality, including a case of incest that is not being dealt with in the church. So, not a pristine church by any stretch, even though Paul does call them saints at the beginning of the letter, which is an interesting thought in itself, isn't it? But Paul is using the example now of the Exodus and tying it to this Corinthian church, in essence saying, hey guys, think about the time of the Exodus when the people were brought out of Egypt, and guess what they did? They were arguing with one another, and they were faction, and they were engaged in factions, and they were engaged in false teachings and idolatry and sexual immorality. They engaged in all these things, even though God delivered them out of Egypt. And look what happened to many of them. They perished in the wilderness. So his point then is to say, hey, that story actually was written for you. And God uses it as a warning to say, don't be like that. Don't be doing that. That's not who you are. And then we have this phrase, they were baptized into Moses. Okay, so what does that mean? He's speaking about the passing through the Red Sea as a kind of communal baptism of the children of Israel. They weren't, as he describes, they weren't baptized into the Red Sea. They were baptized into Moses. Now, what are we talking about there? This is a little challenging for us because we're not naturally tuned in to thinking about a leader who is the sole, unelected representative of all the people. We, of course, have an elected president who comes up every 4 years, and we have other layers of government. So we have to go back to the time when people really did think of their monarch as a representative of the whole community, the whole nation. There's traces of this even, for example, in Britain, when they might refer to Her Majesty as another way of saying the country of England. You know, we're going to fight for Her Majesty, which is another way of saying Britain. Or, here would be a negative example. Adolf Hitler was often introduced in his rallies as Hitler is Germany, and Germany is Hitler. Almost like they've got this organic union connection between the leader and all the people. He represents all the people. All the people are represented in him. But that's a really important concept for us to understand what it means to be in Christ or what it means to be in Moses. God made a covenant with Moses. It is only by representation that the children of Israel are brought out of Egypt. In essence, God says, Moses, you're going to be the deliverer, and I'm going to work through you. You're going to represent these people. And he represents them as he leads them out. And so going through the Red Sea and being, you think they're going through the Red Sea and the cloud is covering over them. There's almost a picture of like a rebirth going on there, where they are leaving the land of slavery and being born anew into a land of freedom. They are leaving the land of Egypt and being born into this new land called the Promised Land. They are leaving the power and authority of the Pharaoh, who forces them to make bricks without straw just for the fun of it, of tormenting them. They leave the oppression of that to be born into a kingdom that is led by Yahweh. So when he says that they're baptized into Moses, he means Moses represents the people, and all the people were in essence baptized because of Moses' representation. Now, why is that important? That's real important when we come to the New Testament, right? Because who's the new Moses in the New Testament but Jesus? So when we are baptized into the name of Jesus, or in the name of the Trinity, we too are, that represents being delivered from one realm of identity, sin, death, and the devil, and being born into a new identity that is characterized by the redeeming grace and love of Christ, the cleansing of sins, the new life he gives, the Holy Spirit that he fills us with, that whole new life that's characterized by freedom. Baptism is a stamp on you, reminding you of who you are. I think we don't think about our baptism enough. Those of you that have been baptized, just think about on that moment, many of you don't remember it, but in that moment, you're stamped with Christ is your identity. Christ is who you're connected with. Christ is the one who is your, you know, he's the one that you're connected with in terms of who you are. Little children get this mark put on them in the orientation sense of that they are to grow up embracing who they are and learning who they are and being oriented in terms of that new identity. We've been marked as the Christian community, and that mark reminds us who we are. There's a story that maybe you've heard, or there's different versions of it, but it's some story about the lost prince with the birthmark. Okay, there's a lot of different versions of this. Let me just read one of them to you. Okay, so here's one. So a great flood threatened the city in olden times. The waters came up to the palace doors. The king and the queen, in the interest of the prince's safety, put the baby in a basket to prevent him from drowning. Moses reference there. Unfortunately, in the confusion that followed, they lost sight of the baby's basket. The crown prince was separated from his parents. The basket with the baby prince went far with the flooding waters and finally ended up near the home of a poor family. The poor family took care of the baby the best they could. No one knew that he was the crown prince. The prince was raised in poverty and as a beggar in the street. For a livelihood, the prince would spend most of his time out in the day begging. He too did not know that he was the crown prince. Thus he would become happy if someone gave him something to eat or some money, and would be sad if he did not get any food or money from begging. Now the prince had a birthmark that the king and queen knew of. They searched high and low throughout the kingdom discreetly for the person with that birthmark. Luckily, after many years, they finally found the prince raised as a beggar. Suddenly, the beggar's life changed. He was well cared for and became well educated and raised to be the next king. And he was now happy and spent his time in luxury, learning from the very best in the land. And then it goes on from there. Baptism is a mark that says, stop thinking of yourself as a beggar anymore. You are a child of God. Your identity is not that you are impoverished, but rather you are royalty. You have the very mark of God upon you. What an incredible identity that is. You know, we have lots of other voices in our heads telling us what our identity is, right? So think of some of those voices that you've even listened to this week of, you know, you're a failure. That's who you are. You're a weakling. You don't have the strength to do this. That's who you are. You're too much of a sinner. God's tired of dealing with you. That's who you are. Yeah. What are the voices you've been listening to today, this week? Baptism gives us and reminds us of an identity, that I am in Christ, that I belong to Jesus, that by faith I am forgiven and I am a prince. I'm a child of God, a son or a daughter of God. That's who I am. That's my true identity. Second point to note would be just that this isn't just an individual thing too, right? The entire community of Israel is brought through the Red Sea. That included elderly people and teenagers and nursing babes and middle-aged couples and singles and newlyweds and children, adolescents, men and women, smart and not so smart, beautiful and ugly, different personality types, different ways of looking at things, babes in the womb. An entire community is brought through the Red Sea. A community baptized into Moses. And so as Christians now in the church, we too have this identity, right? Of we're a community baptized into Christ. And all of those categories of people are included in that community in Christ. We live as a covenant community. And that means we're responsible for one another. Remember all those one another's that Paul uses? You know, love one another, care for one another, forgive one another, be gracious to one another, be kind-hearted to one another. I mean, it goes on and on. There's all these one another's. See, that one anotherness is that we're a community. Marked with the same mark. We're a family. And we're called to act and live like a family. I occasionally get a, often it's a Christmas card, and it just says on the front, the Rick Green family. Which is, I think, old school, right? I don't know how common that tends to be. Sometimes my wife will get a letter that says, Mrs. Rick Green. When I got married, my wife changed her name to Green. All my kids now have the last name Green. We are the Greens. We bear a common name. And that common name speaks of our teamness, right? Of our unity, of the significance. We have something in common that we share. Baptism
Is the church being declared with the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? That's our name. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That common name means we're the same family. And we need to live like that and believe that. And finally, there's a call to a new way of life, right? If we have this identity, and if this is our communal identity, you don't go on as with life as normal. This is what the children of Israel did. They're baptized through the Red Sea. They come out of that, and guess what we see them doing? They're grumbling. They're complaining. They're fighting each other. They're engaged in revelry. They're getting drunk. They're being sexually immoral. They're doing all this stuff. They're building idols. You know, Paul's point is, church that's been baptized into Christ, don't be doing that. That's not who you are anymore. That's completely inconsistent with who you are. What are you doing? That doesn't make any sense. You've been baptized into Christ. That's your name. That's who you are. You have new life in you. You've been made a new creature. That's going to mean something. I think of baptism as something like God sticking a compass on your forehead. And that forehead, that compass is to tell you which way you're supposed to be going. It tells you who you are, but it also orients you in the direction of God. God is where I'm heading. God is my goal. God is my orientation. To get off track is like going back to Egypt. You know? Leeks and onions, but I miss those. Miss all the slavery. Miss all the bondage. I think it's a better option to go back to Egypt. Now, we are being led toward the promised land. Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace might increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live any longer there? And don't you know that, get this, all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. I was watching a documentary about the war in Afghanistan, and it was about these guys in an outpost called Restrepo. Restrepo was the name of a fallen comrade. And so for a year or more, these guys are getting shot at and having to go out, and you know, this incredible bond that war would cause in terms of just needing each other, dependent on each other. And what a life-changing experience that was for all of them, a kind of monumental experience. And it said afterward that after these guys got back, they all got the same tattoo. And it said something like Corindal Valley 2006 or whatever it was. Kind of this mark that we shared a common experience. We have a common identity. We were common soldiers in the fight. Dear friends, if you've been baptized, your baptism is to be if you think about it and interact with it in faith, it's to be a reminder of who you are. It's to be a reminder of our identity with one another. It's to be a reminder of the common interest we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray.